What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is your boy Dale Lippin in here for a very special Wednesday edition of the Punchless MMA podcast. Recorded last night, listened back to it, didn't like it. Just didn't like it. Didn't like my energy. Feel like it's been a rough couple weeks for everybody. I'm going to talk. This is going to be the last time we talk about this, right? Let's talk about it right now. It's been a rough couple weeks for people. Last month or so, Trey leaving the show, and now, guess what? He's gone. He's moved on. We're past this now. So, last night, had a beer, recorded, got on, was mopey, and fucking, I'm by myself. Bullshit. We're not doing that anymore. You guys deserve better than that. I deserve better than that. We're just not going to do that. We got to not big on that manifest destiny bullshit, but I do believe that if you carry negativity with you, negativity will come to you as well. So being negative about that, we're not being negative about it anymore. We're going to keep it moving. UFC 279 takes place this weekend. I know we said pay-per-views and guests, we'll probably do live shows, but if we're being honest here, this barely constitutes a fight night card, let alone a pay-per-view. I think this is a pay-per-view in the sense that Nate Diaz probably has it written into his contract that he'll only be on pay-per-views with pay-per-view points, and they couldn't build a real card around him, so then they're just giving him this one. A lot of speculation that this is going to be we'll get into this. Sorry, there's a lot of speculation as to why this matchup and some other matchups on this card have something like that. There's a lot of speculation as to why that is, but doesn't matter because we're here now. This episode of the podcast, like all episodes of the podcast, are brought to you by our friends over at Stay Classy Meats. You can go to Stay Classy Meats and use promo code FIST. You can save 10% off site-wide. They had some Labor Day boxes that were ready to go. It was like 3 pounds of steak, It was like 3 or 4 pounds of steak, 3 or 4 pounds of brats, and 4 pounds of ground bison, I believe, or something like that. They were already marked at 40% off, and you can go and use our promo code as well. So go save some money on some high-quality, non-GMO, no hormone, no antibiotic, grass-fed, happy cow, happy life, happy taste bud stuff over there at Stay Classy Meats. And then, of course, Allegiance Clothing, our friends over there are always dishing out some high quality, super soft American made, veteran owned and operated clothing and mercantile, I think is what the fancy old timey name for clothes, mercantile. So yeah, you can go over there and you can use promo code PUNCH and save 15% off site wide. Excuse me. Speaking of shirts, those of you that have gone on the shop site located at our Instagram at Punchless MMA and gone and purchased a shirt through there, thank you so much. Thank you tenfold over for that. If you have purchased some stickers, thank you for that as well. I pulled the women's science shirt because it was a resounding, what the fuck is this? And you guys hated it. So I pulled it off and I'm now in the process of working with a professional artist and we will get the new design. You will like much more and it'll be out by, I'm hoping to have it out by the end of the week. So I know. I heard, and this is what's cool about the feedback loop of trying to be as involved as it possibly can, right? If you guys don't like something, I'll at least listen to it. Doesn't mean I always make the change, but I'll at least listen to it. In this instance, your complaints were heard, and no harm, no foul. We'll go ahead and we'll make it work. All right. So, women's science, the new women's science shirt will be released hopefully here by the end of the week. I'm hoping to get in contact with my man here soon. He's in Indonesia. Everything's outsourced to other countries now. So it's a little bit of a time delay as far as the communique goes. So we're working on it. The sketch looks sick and you'll enjoy it. I wholeheartedly believe that. And if you don't, too fucking bad. I'm not paying for another design. You're going to have to suck it up and either not buy this one or just get over it. So, but I think this one will be met with a resounding golf clap and then hopefully a couple purchases. That being said, if you haven't purchased anything and you want to, I would encourage you to do so. One of the things that I want to draw your attention to, not sure if you went and saw the store or not, but if you go to the sticker section and you find the podcast logo, sticker. I have basically, it allows you to like set your profit margins on it. I've made that sticker so I make no money. Like it's literally like they're just printing it. You're paying them like direct cost to print. Now, that being said, when you get said sticker, if you order it and you get said sticker, if you stick that bad daddy somewhere, right, and take a picture of it and tag me on Instagram at PunchlessMMA, I will then in turn create for you your own promo code for the store for 20% off everything else in the store. That's your individual code that's good for time in memoriam. So like any shirt that I come out with, any other thing that comes out, right? From coffee mugs to sandals to stickers to phone cases, whatever it is that drops that you're into and that you want, you'll have your own individual code that you can use that's going to knock 20% off the top, which, to be honest with you, is great for you. Because as you guys know, I mean, because you've heard me talk about it for the better part of a few years now, I'm cheap as shit, so I don't like paying for anything. I like coupons and I like free and all that stuff. So that in mind, you know, the margins on the shirts that are out there right now are very, very small. You know, hell, no shame in my game. I make about $2 a shirt. So 20% off that, I'm gonna make a cool like $1.60 a shirt, man. So you guys go ahead and, you know, save yourself some money. That's fine by me. I don't give a hoot. I just want to see Punchless Nation grow, right? So that's really what it's all about. This show is a passion project, right? Now, if it ever led to a gig at, you know, taking Yanni the Greek spot, so be it, right? If it ever, you know, put me side by side with the Ducky and Parker, so be it. You know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But that's not the aim. The aim is to talk fights, bullshit, drink beer, and hang out with my friends. And I feel like that's what we get to do each and every week. It's an intimate setting that doesn't seem to be too prevalent amongst the MMA betting landscape. And I appreciate you guys a great deal. So get one of the stickers, tag it, or post, you know, stick it, tag me, and I'll get you a promo code, right? 20% off all future purchases. I feel like that's a pretty sweet deal. Plus, you know, a little bit of crime never hurt anybody, right? A little bit of crime never hurt anybody. So just go ahead and stick that thing wherever you want. You know, I should probably rephrase that. Yeah, because some of you guys will be sending like butthole pictures and stuff. Stick it someplace that's appropriate, like that you'd be okay with sending it, like sending the picture to your mom. Okay, I don't want stickers over your b-hole. All right, nipples maybe, but b-hole no thank you. All right, anyway, keeping it moving, we've got UFC 279 this weekend. We're going to talk about Nate Diaz versus Khamzat Chimaev, but I want to go over a couple things that happened at UFC Paris. Parisian fighters went 5-0, akin to a UFC London card, all violence all the time, which is interesting, right? Because we never know what to expect whenever the UFC returns to a place that it hasn't been for a long time, or if it's the very first time ever being there. We don't know what to expect. Usually those cards are feast or famine as far as finishes go or as far as wins go. And the Parisians came out and they showed out. I was pleasantly surprised. We finished slightly up on the week, 2.62 units. So green is green. I'll take it. Honestly, it would have been bigger had we not sprinkled so much on Thai. Now, I know overexposure is a thing, but we had small, like, half-unit plays on Thai, money line, Thai in round two, and then the saving grace and all of that was the no round four start, which, you know, going through the first two rounds, I thought, oh, shoot, damn it, we might be in trouble here. But no, you know, the universe righted itself all the same. Finishing sequence, Cyril gone is an issue, right? I have no qualms against him as a fighter, his skill set, his capabilities, nothing. I have no issue with him at all. However, the finishing sequences for his fights can be a little suspect, right? You know, I put a side by side up it was interesting, right? So I did not see it in like I saw the fight live, but I didn't see the strike in question live. It was sent via DM. A longtime supporter of the show shot me a message and said, "Dude, how dirty was that? Was that hammer fist from Gone?" I said, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Oh, he clubbed him in the back of the head. I think he called it a John Henry hammer fist," which I thought was freaking, oh man, I thought it was so good. A John Henry hammer fist. I thought that was great. Anyway, hit him with the old JH. And, I was like, all right, well, let me go back and watch this. And I watched it. I'm like, oh, he clubbed him right at the base of the neck. That's problematic. And then I started thinking, I said, well, didn't he had an issue with JDS as well. And I went back and I watched the JDS fight. And you can make the argument that JDS turned away from him. You 100% can make that argument, right? That JDS turned away from him as Gon was throwing the strike and it hit him flush behind the ear. Now, that same logic, if we apply that to downed opponents taking knees or kicks, it doesn't matter whether they're on their way down or not. It doesn't matter whether or not they're playing the game with the hands. We can say, well, you shouldn't play the game, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I get that. But that's us third-party perspective after the fact looking at it. That's not the way the referee was supposed to play it live. So the JDS strike was to the back of the head. Whether or not he turned his head is irrelevant because it was to the back of the dome. With the Tuivasa fight, Ty was in a world of trouble, right? I'm not arguing that the end wasn't nigh. Like, it was coming. It was there. I mean, it was 100% two more strikes. Ty was going down anyway. But in the heat of the moment, an illegal strike is still an illegal strike. And it's, I'm not saying like that. I can't remember who the official was. It wasn't her. Goddard. I'm not saying Goddard should have jumped in there and been like, whoa, 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 whoa. But I don't know how you're supposed to handle that. I tagged Mark in that video. I'd love to hear his logic on it. I would love to hear him address it to say, you know, I just want an officiant's perspective on what you're supposed to do. One of the ones that was brought up or that I brought up in the comment section, somebody had pushed back on a little bit. I said, it's no different than like the Jeremy Stevens, Josh Emmett finish. Jeremy Stevens very clearly crushed Josh Emmett with a very illegal knee during that sequence. And nobody says anything ever. And Josh is as tough as they come. Everybody is very much aware of that. But that knee was wildly illegal. And it was in the midst of a finishing sequence. And we just don't say or do anything about it. I don't know what the right answer is, but speculatively speaking, I feel like you almost have to stop it and see if they can continue. You know, I kind of want to go back and almost watch like the first Jan versus Aljo fight, because I feel like, not that Aljo was like at the risk of being finished, but when that knee landed, Aljo was in bad shape. Like, I don't necessarily know it was like a finishing sequence, but Aljo was in bad shape. Remember, he's kind of flopping around. He was getting tagged prior to that. He's laying down. He's kind of doing the head back and forth thing. I mean, he was in a bad spot. It wasn't necessarily a finishing sequence, but he was in a bad spot. I'm just wondering. I'm trying to rack my brain as far as, you know, fight encyclopedia, remembering illegal blows, you know, in conjunction with finishing sequences. And it's just, I don't know what you're supposed to do, right? I don't know what you're supposed to do. And it leaves you like in this gray area, this purgatory of decision-making, sort of like we saw with like Big Dan and the Rozenstruik Overeem fight, right? Like Rozenstruik hit Reem and Reem fell down and then he walked away. Overeem stood back up. And then it was almost like they didn't know what to do. So he's like, well, I guess I'll wave it off. like Rozenstruik had his back turned and was walking away like it was a walk-off KO, and it just wasn't. So applying the same logic now to the Ty Tuivasa Ciryl Gane fight, what if when Ty slumped Gane against the cage, he just walked away Mark Hunt style, threw his hands in the air? You know, what do we do then? Like, the finishing sequences of fights, that's like the muddiest of muddy, the grayest of grays. It's very difficult to sort of, you know, hammer those out. My computer chair is really squeaky lately. I don't know. I got to get a little love on that. So, headphone users, I apologize in advance. You know, damn chair is so freaking creaky. Well, get over it. So, what else do we have? Do we have anything else that was controversial that event? I can't remember. Let me go back and look at these. Anything stand out? Robert Whittaker, Marvin Vettori. Of course, Dale, you were all over Vettori and you got that shit completely wrong. I, you know what? It's shame on me for picking against Bobby Knuckles, but at a certain point, it's hard to continue to keep the faith that Robert Whittaker is the best middleweight on the planet Earth, not named Israel Adesanya. And then it makes me wonder, is Izzy that much better than Whittaker, or is he just a bad opponent for Whittaker? Like, I'm trying to think of another combat sports reference that would do really well here. Like, I don't know. I just, like Chael Sonnen would have been middleweight champ of the world, and probably kept that belt for a while if it weren't for a guy named Anderson Silva, or something to that effect, right? Like, there's just the Izzy mountain is just a mountain that cannot be climbed by Rob. He'll literally beat everybody else. He just can't get that win. He can't get that one. And I thought the second fight, you know, believing Whittaker is as good as he is, like, he'll make the adjustments. He'll get that W in the second fight. And the second fight was just as dominant. But it's so weird that he can't beat Izzy, but he is a fucking mile ahead of everybody else at middleweight. He is a mile ahead. Like, it's not even close. And I thought Vettori and his, like, the grinder style might present just a little bit like more of an attrition style. Can Rob win a war of attrition? Like, just a dirty, grindy, heavy, muck, boring fight. Like, can he do that? And Vettori didn't want to do that. So it's like, all right, well, you came out and literally fought the way that you weren't going to win the fight. And that's so hard. It goes back to, you know, talking about rules that we're learning throughout 2022, is that you can't bet on what a fighter should do. You got to bet on what they're most likely to do. And I should have seen the forest for the trees there and gone, Vettori wants to, he wants to showcase himself as like an all-around martial artist now, right? Like that Marvin Vettori grapple, press, dirty box, clinch, drag you down, smother you style, that doesn't exist anymore. That's not the Marvin that now exists. Marvin wants to bang. Marvin fancies himself a boxer. It's just not the case. So, lesson learned there. Whittaker is just light years ahead of everybody else. Let's see here. Nathaniel Wood looks like a real issue at 145. Definitely somebody to keep an eye on. One of the fights that we had talked about extensively. And then, you know, as fight day approached, I just felt like Jourdain maybe having the juice with GSP there and everything else. Not the case. Wood looked fantastic. Nasrat Haqparast was free money. Like I said, absolute free money. Gabriel Miranda, 15 submission wins out of his 16 professional wins. 15 sub wins. Who the fuck did he get those against, right? Just Helen Keller School for the Dumb and Blind? Like, who who is he beating? Not a UFC level talent at all. Looking forward to cashing against him the next time they put him in as well. Stephanie Egger, if you played the Stephanie Egger plays, we had Stephanie Egger, and then on the show we had mentioned Stephanie Egger inside the distance and Stephanie Egger by sub, all three of which cashed if you played those. So hopefully you did. I went conservative and just went fight in, ends inside the distance. Was it like a minus 165? Good return on investment there as far as I'm concerned. So lessons learned there, right? Roman Kopylov, you know, it wasn't pretty, but he got it done. And then as such, Alessio De Chirico has now retired from MMA. Although the translation from Italian to English via Instagram leaves something to be desired, because it says he's done and wants to move on to something else. But he also says, it's not the last time you'll see me on canvas. So I have no idea what the hell that means. Does that mean he's retired? Does it not mean? I don't understand. Doesn't make any sense to me. All right, so let's get into UFC 279. Only a couple spots this week that I actually like. That's why you're hearing me talk more than you normally do. We were originally supposed to get Aljo versus TJ here, but that fight got moved. So we got a headliner here of Khamzat Chimaev versus Nate Diaz. This is a roster cleaner of a card. And I mean that in the sense that a lot of the folks that you see that are going to lose this weekend will no longer be employed by the UFC come Monday. There will be quite a few guys and gals that get cleaned off the roster this weekend. So we'll start with the main card and go from there. You know, again, I'm going to move through these rather quickly, just because, like I said, there's not a ton of spots that I like on this one. This will be admittedly, plus it's the first freaking week of the NFL season. I know you guys don't know this MMA podcast. I know, but listen, there's going to be a lot of betting done this weekend. Not a lot of it on my end is going to be done in the UFC, just being honest with you. All right. Julian Arosa is taking on Hakeem Duwadu this weekend, and you know how I feel about my man Juicy J. Juicy J, Billy Quarantillo, and Bill Algeo, all three of them have never been in the same room together at the same time because they are essentially the same person. That being said, I believe that Juicy J, Julian Arosa is probably the worst iteration of the three of them, and he's got Mean Hakeem Duwadu ahead of in front of him here. Now, you can get Mean Hakeem at minus 215. Julian Arosa come back at the plus 185. And what's interesting to me about this fight and where I think you're going to get a little bit of sneaky value is that Hakeem Duwadu, excuse me here, by KO is at plus 225. Now, Arosa walks forward, keeps the hands down, relies on that pressure, which Duwadu's not necessarily going to like. He's coming off back-to-back wins over Steven Peterson and Charles Jourdain is my man Julian Arosa. But when he's getting, when he's losing, he's getting knocked out, right? Knocked out by Devonta Smith, knocked out by Julio Arce, knocked out by Sungwoo Choi. Lost, got knocked out in cage sport, the Bobby McIntyre, got knocked out by Teruto Ishihara. If you guys remember Teruto back in the day, that was on the last Diaz card that he fought on, right? So historically speaking, Julian Arosa is 0-1 on Nate Diaz headlined cards. Will he right the ship and make it 1-1? I don't think so. I think he's going to get knocked out again. I think Julian Arosa gets knocked out on Saturday by Hakeem Duwadu. Now, Hakeem Duwadu, to get that, you know, get that knockout finish, he's going to have to do something he hasn't done in a while, and that's knock somebody out, right? Last time we've seen him knock somebody out was almost 3 years ago when he knocked out Yoshinori Horii. It's been a while. Duwadu, statistically speaking, is pretty decision heavy. Not necessarily known for his power, but he throws with ill intent. So I think that the opportunities will be there, right? If he can harness the old Mean Hakeem, I think he can get the W. So we're looking at Duwadu money line minus 215. I think is a great spot, and I'm looking at Duwadu by knockout. I think he's gonna reverse the clock, and you know, Arosa has shown himself of being a little bit chinny. All right, Speaking of Chinny, Johnny Walker, 18-7, taking on Iwan Kutalaba at 16-7. It is a Caucus Mountain Warrior fight week. Caucus Mountain Warrior t-shirt is available now through the link in the bio on the Instagram. Kutalaba at a minus 200, Johnny Walker plus 170 coming back. Okay, look, I know that Johnny Walker gets knocked out and he's a meme every time he fights, right? But, hear me out here. If you're looking at Johnny Walker, I would just take Johnny Walker by KO. You can get him at plus 250 by knockout. And that's really, you know, that's really the only path to victory he has. He's not going to win a decision here. He's not going to get a submission. If you're on Johnny Walker, there's no point in playing him at plus 270. Just take the bigger plus money. Just take the bigger plus money. He will not win, excuse me, a three-rounder against Iwan Kutalaba. Now, my concern as a Kutalaba fan is I don't want Iwan to go out there and chase the highlight, right? Because when Johnny Walker gets knocked out, it's hilarious. Don't chase the highlight. Go out there, wrestle, grind, impose yourself, be the Hulk, right? Hulk smash. Hulk smash. Kutalaba inside the distance, minus 125. A little bit more palatable. Don't think that Johnny Walker has the stamina or the chin to go a full 15 minutes here. So I like Kutalaba inside the distance. And then, you know, you could look at Walker by KO. It's really kind of the only two spots here that I'm really, really digging. All right. First women's science play of the night. Macy Chaisson taking on Irene Aldana. Macy Chaisson, look, weight cut issues are a thing, right? They're a problem. It's something that needs to be addressed. But she looked good in her last fight right up until she didn't. I you can make the argument that she ended up losing that, but ultimately she got the nod, right? So here we are. Irene Aldana's been off for a while. She's making a, you know, she's coming back. I think it's the first time we've seen her fight. Yeah, it's the first time we've seen her fight this year. It's been over a year since we've seen her fight. Her last win coming over Yana Kunitskaya when she broke Yana Kunitskaya's nose, and some people thought that Yana was pregnant while she was fighting. I mean, I'm not great at math, but that math didn't add up. I think maybe she probably did have a little baby in the belly while she's getting beat up. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Chaisson is coming off of split decision win over Norma Dumont, who we're going to talk about as well. Okay. Women's science is about the only thing that's worth playing here because stylistically speaking, I think the jab and the hands of Irene can be a bit of an issue. So Macy's going to have to close the distance. She's going to have to bully her. She's going to have to drag her down. She's going to have to make it ugly. That being said, she can't tire herself out too much in doing so. Otherwise, Irene has the gas tank to really bring it on after the fact. You're talking about crazy cat lady. Irene Aldana. She literally talks about how she's got a bunch of cats in her apartment and all she does is train. So you got a crazy cat lady taking on Justin Bieber here. And I think the Bieber is going to get it done. I think the Biebs gets it done, if nothing more than just for a women's science play, right? All right. Kevin Holland taking on Daniel Rodriguez, 16-2. Kevin Holland at 23-7. Probably the most torn I am on any fight this card, and I'm just going to go ahead and say if the opportunity were to present itself, this would probably be what we would call the people's main event, right? I am initially leaning Daniel Rodriguez here, although I think just about every discernible advantage outside of power is going to go to Kevin Holland. I think Kevin's better on the ground. I think Kevin's faster. I think Kevin manages distance better. I wonder about the grit, right? I wonder about the sand. I wonder about if Rodriguez can get to him and hit him and hurt him. Does Holland persevere, right? Now, he's got to do that first. He's got to get there. He's got to touch him first. It's an interesting... It's an interesting proposition. We can get Daniel Rodriguez at decent plus money here. I mean, depending on where you're shopping him at, I've seen him as high as plus 185, plus 175. Kevin Holland, on the other hand, minus 200. Like, do we feel minus 200? Like, 50 cents on the dollar for Holland? That's how we feel? I don't know about it. I really don't know about that. I'm leaning initially Daniel Rodriguez. I don't like a KO play. I don't like an inside the distance. I don't want anything fancy here. If I'm on Rodriguez, I'm on Rodriguez just for the sake of being on him. But this will probably – I'm going to put a poll up on Instagram. I'll let you guys decide how we play it this weekend, and that's what will show up on the card or on the slip for this weekend. I think we'll do it like that because I need to consort with my peers here, right? I need to consult the prophets for the ancient Greek the ancient Greeks and Romans. What were the Spartans? I literally just mixed three cultures, and I apologize for that. They're not the ethers. Damn it. What are they? I can't remember what they are. Anyway. But yeah, basically they would just if you're unfamiliar, they would take a young girl and they would dedicate her to the temple. They'd load her up full of psychedelics, and then they would use her to prophesy for them. Very, very interesting way of conducting yourself through the world. But yeah, different times now. Imagine that. I mean, like I don't know if I should start this new job or not. Let me go conduct the seers and see what they say. And then you freaking see some drugged up hippie chick with petroleum oil all like, you know, shroomed out. That would be, you should definitely take that job. All right. Looks like I'm moving to Portland. Okay. Anyway, co-main event evening, Li Jingliang taking on Tony Ferguson. This bout is at 170 pounds. Keep that in mind. This is not a 155er. This is a 170-pound bout. And this is just taking place a few short months after Michael Chandler kicked Tony Ferguson's chin through the top of his skull. Okay, so we need to keep that in mind. This Tony Ferguson, well, let's just get into this right now. This is a roster clean spot. Tony Ferguson's gone after this, guys. I want you to start mentally preparing yourself. Today is Wednesday. You have 3 days to get yourself ready for how sad Saturday is going to be. Saturday evening will be spent with music montages and pouring one out for the homies and remember when's, right? Remember when Tony beat the shit out of Lando Venata after nearly getting finished in the first round. Remember when Tony that's what it's going to be, right? Like that's what we've got coming up. The Darce night is no more. This is a bad matchup for him. Arguably his most winnable matchup at 170, but it's still a terrible matchup for him. This is not good, guys. I know we can go, oh, Tony looked good in the first round against Chandler. Yeah, he looked good-ish. He looked good-ish, right? But this ain't it. This is like Anderson Silva fighting Uriah Hall, right? This is a guy that's well past his prime fighting another dude that is never going to be a champ, but should win this fight against a legend that's now past his prime. This will be the biggest name on Li Jingliang's resume, right? Plus 250, Tony Ferguson, minus 300 to minus 325, depending on where you're looking for Li. Yikes. Yikes. I mean, over on our rounds, is it 2.5? I think you go under here. I think you go under. And the only reason why I say that is because Li finishes fights, and he's a bruiser, and, you know, a lot to be said about the mental health and the brain of Tony Ferguson anyway, even if he wasn't coming off a monstrous knockout. But he's coming off a monstrous knockout. He's coming out after nearly getting his head kicked off. Michael Chandler kicked Tony Ferguson. I thought, oh, there's a dead body. There's a dead body right there. Yep. That's a good one. Yeah, that's that's something we're going to have to watch out for a long time. Tony should probably take a good year and some change off, right? Nope. What's Tony Ferguson do? He goes, I think I need coaches again. I don't want to train myself anymore. I'm going to go ahead and fight. I'm going to go down to Jackson Wink, and then I'm going to move up in weight, and then I'm going to fight Li Jianglong. And I'm going to do it 4 months after nearly getting my head kicked off my fucking shoulders. That's what I'm going to do. I cannot say this enough. In life, as a fighter, as a person, you need people in your life that care about you enough to tell you when you're fucking up. And that's just the simple truth of it. You have to have people that love you enough to go, this is not a good look for you. You need to change the thing that's wrong. And then you as an individual, as an athlete, as a person, as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a girlfriend, as a brother, sister, whatever, teammate, you need to be open to the constructive criticism that maybe you don't know everything, right? Like I've got a preteen in my house. And one of the conversations that we have all the time is me telling them, you don't know everything yet. You're the smartest person in most rooms, but when I'm in the room, you're not the smartest person in that room. So when I'm telling you something, just be open to the idea that perhaps you don't know everything. And I'm here to tell you right now, I don't know anything about anything. But I do know that if you're not open to the idea that maybe your ship is running aground without rudder, you're in for a world of hurt. And I think that's what we're going to see on Saturday night. Li Jianglong is a bad dude that finishes fights, right? You're talking about a guy who has 9 career wins by knockout, 5 career wins by submission. 14 of his 19 wins have come via finish. He's not going to choke out Tony Ferguson, right? He's not going to break his arm. It's not going to do any of that stuff. But if you think he's not going to just absolutely pummel him, I think that we've got issues here. He's knocked out bigger, stronger dudes than Tony Ferguson that weren't coming off of life-changing, traumatic brain injuries. Knocked out Muslim Salikov. Knocked out Santiago Ponzinibbio. Knocked out Easy Dos Santos. Knocked out David Zawada. Freaking knocked out Zach Otto. All these dudes are huge compared to Tony Ferguson. None of them were coming off of life-altering traumatic brain injuries. Tony Ferguson's showing up. He's got a new coach. He's got a new haircut. Fucking new haircut, Tony Ferguson? Wrong. 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 Orange Mohawk, Tony Ferguson. It's going to be sad. Li Jianglong. Bad news bears. Yeah. Li by KO plus 175. That's the play. That's the play. Li wins inside the distance plus 125. That's the play. That's the play. You're getting sweetheart deals from Vegas right now because of Tony's continued durability, but it's gone. It will be gone. It's gone. Okay. All right, main event of the evening. Again, the scrubber continues. Tony Ferguson off the roster, soon to be off the roster as well. Nate Diaz, plus 500. Hamzat Shimaev, minus 1,000. I have seen ludicrous numbers from other books. I'm just trying to give you the best numbers I can. My bookie has Hamzat at minus 1,000 versus Nate Diaz at plus 500. Over on rounds is at 1.5, with the under 1.5 being at a plus 125. About the most conservatively okay lines you can find on a fight like this. I have seen ludicrous lines on Hamzat upwards of minus 1250 and beyond. Very little chance here for Nate Diaz is what the world is saying. Very tough to handicap a fight like this. Very tough. That being said, if you're on the prop play train, Nate Diaz round four, Nate Diaz round five, go for it. We saw cardio issues with Khamzat after getting hurt a little bit in the Gilbert Burns fight. I can't help but wonder whether or not the Gilbert Burns hurting him is what led to the cardio issues, right? Like that being an issue, like that setting forth the course of that sequence of events. I don't think that Nate's going to hurt Khamzat like that. I think it's a matter of whether or not Khamzat gets tired trying to kill Nate over three rounds. Right? Like he says, I, the UFC brought me in to kill this guy. So that's what I got to do. And if he doesn't, then what? Right? That's when your Nate Diaz round four, round five props come into play. Don't necessarily love it. Can't say that I do. But I would encourage you to I'd encourage you to think about it, right? And you could think about it. To be honest with you, I don't know. I think you just have to take. I think you got to take Khamzat by KO. I understand. Nate hasn't been KO in a while. This, that, and the other. Okay, that's that. Scar tissue is another thing. You're going to hear all these narratives, right? You got to worry about the scar tissue. You got to worry about the age. You got to worry about that. I understand there's all these variables and we could go over all of them, but I'm not going to hit the same talk points that you can get from any other fucking, podcast. If you want to hear about the cardio and Nate Diaz, go for it. Nate's got cardio. Go listen to somebody else say that. If you want to hear about, the smashing power of Khamzat, he's got it. That's fine. What we got to think about here is what is at play? Like, what are we looking at here? And I think that one of the things that you got to look at is one of the more compelling send you off into the freaking sunsets would be Khamzat by submission plus 260 coming into play. Nate Diaz by KO is at plus 2200. Fight doesn't go the distance is at minus 600. Again, parlay anchor piece, but gosh, that's a spicy price. Khamzat Chimaev in rounds 1, 2, and 3, respectively, 125, 300, and plus 800. If you think he gets him out of there later, rounds 4 and 5 or at plus 1,100 and plus 2,200. Nate Diaz, round 4 and 5, plus 2,500, plus 2,800, all the same. Don't think Nate Diaz wins the decision. Feel like he's going to have to get a stoppage here. I think if he does, it's going to be in rounds 3, 4, or 5. All three of those are in excess of plus 2,000. So if you're on Diaz, quarter unit and half unit plays on all three of those, you're 20x in your money here. And look, why not do that, but then play the more reasonable Khamzat inside the distance, right? Sure. Khamzat by KO, TKO is probably the most likely at the minus 150. I just think that the scar tissue is going to be too much. I think it's going to be too much. I think we get him down. We start doing elbows and punches. Nate takes a position where he's not necessarily defending himself rather well. Maybe tries to give up his back. Can't necessarily get so because Hamzat's got an arm secure. Something like that. And we see some left hands that do the job. Interesting plays that are out there. Just initial props right now that I like. BetOnline has Khamzat Chimaev inside the distance at minus 400. That's not bad as far as a parlay anchor. Most significant strikes landed, most takedowns landed. All those are going to go the way of Chimaev. I do want to say this before I close on this one. The gentleman that you guys have heard me talk about before that believes that the UFC is scripted, that believes this whole thing is just a giant ruse, believes that Nate Diaz is going to win this fight, believes that there is money to be made offshore through various sundry Chechen Bitcoin channels and all kinds of shit via Nate Diaz losing this fight. Nate Diaz winning this fight. Hamzat knowing that he's got a high ceiling anyway, that he's got plenty of time to be around, and it doesn't really hurt him in any way, shape, or form from a lasting perspective to lose to a guy like Nate Diaz, will in fact lose this fight on Saturday night and make a bunch of money for some other people and then get paid on the back end for it. That is his interpretation of the upcoming events. It's not the way I see it shaking out. I am slightly interested. I am slightly interested in the over 1.5, the -160. And yeah, like I said, I think Chimaev by submission is the sneaky one, even though Hamzat by KO, TKO, seems most likely due to the scar tissue and the fact that Nate just seems like has said multiple times this week he didn't want this fight. This is not the fight he asked for. So a guy that's already bitter, already doesn't want to be there anyway, you know, what's he end up doing? I think if I can rub my crystal ball and go into the DMs of what I'm about to hear after this gets published, is that there's too much pride in Diaz to lose by submission. If it would be the most demoralizing thing for a Diaz brother to lose via submission to a guy like Hamzat, which is exactly why I think it's going to happen. I really think that there's a back channel conversation between Dana and Hamzat where he's like, fucking break this guy, like sweep the leg stuff. You know what I mean? But that's just me. That's me getting my own, you know, storyline conspiratorial bullshit going. All right. Couple prelim spots that I like. I'm just going to run through it real quick. Danielle Wolfe, former professional boxer, hasn't fought in 2 years, coming in fighting Norma Dumont. If Norma's got to make weight first, right? You guys know me. You know I love me some Norma Dumont. Enormous Dumont. She's got to make weight first. Danielle Wolfe, 1-0 as a professional mixed martial artist, but she's got them hands. She got them hands. We'll take her. Just women's science, right? Just why not? Women's science. There's no reason not to take her in that regard. What is it going to hurt for us to take her, right? I don't see where it, +330, Norma Dumont -410. Come on. Norma Dumont ever a -400 against anybody? Negative. Give me Danielle Wolfe. Just maybe she'll go out there and you know, hit her with that crispy real quick. All right. Melissa Martinez, Elise Reed. Melissa Martinez undefeated. And, you know, not necessarily the same level of competition as Elise Reed. Elise Reed, you know, coming off a loss to Sam Hughes. How good Sam Hughes? But she did beat Corey McKenna. So that's a thing, you know, but that was really a bad game plan by Corey McKenna. Melissa Martinez, on the other hand, you know, went over Desiree Yanez last time she fought, you know, 2 years ago. Been a long time, man. Been a long time since we've seen her fight. And even then, that was a split decision win. I don't think that I look, man, just all women's science all the time, right? All women's science all the time. Elise Reed, Danielle Wolfe, and freaking Macy Chasson. Give me all of it. Give me all that. Parlay them bad babies together, and let's see what we can get, right? Let's throw all them on a parlay. Let's see what we can. Let's let that ride and see what we can do. I mean, not just astronomical, I'm sure. Almost to the point now where I've got a second. I might just go ahead and throw them all in parlay right now and see what that looks like. So let me do that. We're gonna take Macy, boom, add her to the slip. Yeah, that's me. Go ahead. Yeah, you can go ahead and log me in. There we go. All right, let's see here. One second. I'm freaking. All right, here we go. Da, 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 da. All right. Let me get my MMA thing back up. Oh, man. All right. So we're putting Macy Chasson on the slip. Boom. She's there. Okay. Then we're going to scroll on down here. We're going to take Elise Reed and give me Danielle Wolfe. All right. What do we got here? that bad boy is coming out too. Come on, plus 2,400. Let's get it going. Let's get it going on the plus 2,400 women's science. Let's go. Let's get the women's science parlay going this weekend. Why not? Too many heavy women faves. Ain't nobody got time for that. Let's get it. Let's get that whole thing going. I like it. I'm here for it. We're going to make it happen. Give me 1 second here. Man, hold on. Stand by. Okay, so there we have it. Last couple here, Darian Weeks taking on Johan Lioness. I like Darian Weeks here. I don't think Lioness is very good at all. And then Jake Collier, Chris Barnett. Again, another roster cleaning spot. They want Barnett off the roster. Collier's just the guy to do it. Minus 425 is a little heavy on the price for big Jake Collier, but I mean, what are you going to do, right? I don't necessarily know that I play it. I would say maybe interested in taking, you know, Jake Collier by KO. You can get that at plus 160. Barnett gets tired, man, and fatigue is another opponent inside the octagon. So I definitely think that we could probably see a finish there just by Collier's output. So we'll try that as well. Full official slip will be available on Saturday. I'll go ahead and put that out. You can track all my unit betting if you want over at betmma.tips. Just search for Punch List MMA Pod, P-O-D. And the P's are capitalized. So go big on the PP, and you'll be able to find us no problem there. And yeah, thanks everybody that continues to support the show. If you bought a shirt, thank you. If you bought a sticker, thank you. If you haven't, thank you. If you like, subscribe, share anywhere, do any of that stuff. Like, leave a review. All that helps big time. New women's science graphic is on the way. T-shirt will be on the way. Relax. It's coming. You'll like this design better. I promise. Until Saturday, be good to each other. We'll talk to you then. See you.